You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. In August this year, close to 300 agents experienced a digital marketing program called Digital Live, created by Steve Carroll, with some great coaches like Julie Masters and Chris Helder, giving agents practical, actionable tips on how to improve both their digital presence and their circle of influence. My guest this week is Colin Anstey of Raging Digital, who is also a part of that coaching crew. And in today's show, we're going to talk about what social media platforms you really need and how to optimize them, how to give yourself the best chance you can of going viral, and Colin also tells us about some of his favourite productivity tools that he says can save you plenty of time and effort. All right, so welcome to the podcast, Colin Anstey.
Thanks very much, Sam. Great to be here.
You've been around the country doing various things with Digital Live with Steve Carroll and Julie Masters and Chris Helder and those guys. So before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of what we're going to be talking about, which is one of your passions in digital marketing, how is Digital Live?
It is absolutely my favourite event of the year. Like, it is so much energy, so much pump up. And the reason I really love it is because there's real action and real outcomes and results. So the role I play is across social media and across LinkedIn particularly. So we really dig into the detail. And look, the second part of that we talk about a lot and gets a lot of interest is actually around the tools and around the software. And so, look, I could name probably 1,000 different tools off the top of my head, but which ones are actually best? Which ones just do exactly what you want and just make some magic quickly? And probably the third and final thing is that actually on social media, I often refer to it as a treadmill, but a treadmill that just keeps getting faster and faster over time. And so you can spend unlimited, you know it yourself at Elite Agent, and you do a wonderful job with your social, but it just keeps going. It doesn't stop. You don't ever complete it. And so the real gold or the real center is around being able to actually get conversions. So whether that's listings, whether it's buyers, sellers, whether it's, you know, magazine subscriptions or whatever it is you're looking at, actually getting results from social media is the real challenge today, is what it suggests. And so we talk a lot about that at Digital Live.
I do remember because you were a Transform coach in 2017. Yes. And one of the first things that you said to the Super Six was there's no point in being on social media unless you're actually going to get business out of it, like leads, conversions, all that sort of thing. So what do you think at the moment are the biggest mistakes you're seeing agents make on social media? And you've just been through a whole bunch of profiles. So what do you think there is happening out there still that should not be happening?
There's two big standout ones. So number one is people using it just like an advertising billboard. So they have no thought, no interest, no idea of what their users or prospective clients might be after. They just say 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom in Woodlands, for sale now, offers over $450,000, and then the front shot of the property. So there's no personal side of it, no storytelling, nothing about the previous family, nothing about the suburb. It's really just blunt, brutal advertising. So people can do that. It just gets such low engagement, likes, comments. So people don't want to see it in that way, is number one. Number two is definitely those who have just not made the journey into social yet. So people who just don't use it is a huge thing. So of the 180 participants at Digital Live, so they've only really just finished Digital Live 2018, and so many agents were still getting 0 out of 25 for their Facebook score. And what that is their Facebook business page. They just don't have one yet. And it's just not okay in 2018. So if you want to be a great agent and provide a great service and be building your personal brand particularly, you just have to be there. It's a bit like, Sam, back in the year 2000, you know, a whole lot of businesses are saying, oh, look, should I have a website? Should I not? You just must have, you know, social media in 2018.
Yeah. So what do you think are the essentials now for agents in terms of social media platforms? Where do they need to be?
Look, right now, I'd say the three essentials that you must have. So number one is Facebook. Number two is Instagram. And number three is LinkedIn. So they're the stable of three, very closely followed by YouTube, because all of these agents have videos, right? Just put them up there and get a lot of viewers on those. And it's a really good point. So just a few years ago, it was just Facebook, and Facebook was kind of what I'd call the Walmart or the category killer of social media. Where I feel like one of the biggest shifts is, you know, social media was largely around putting out messages out to a wider or a broader audience. And I've actually had really good experience where it's actually narrowed a lot around this concept of being a micro influencer. So talking to a specialist group, and often in real estate, it is a geography. So talking to just a district or a region, or could even be up to a state. Speaking to smaller groups, even as small as one person. And so what that is just messaging. And so just direct messaging people on Facebook or on Instagram or on LinkedIn. And so this kind of thing, so some people call it dark messaging, because if I message you directly, Sam, no, the world doesn't see that. It's just me sending you a nice note. And so because there's so much noise and pollution and things to get past before you can find the real people and the real services and the great operators. And so being able to cut through that noise and having that, you know, like we're talking now, right? Just that one-to-one experience is so much more powerful than me trying to go on TV and talk to 50,000 or 500,000 people.
So your objective on, doesn't matter which social media platform it is to make sure your brand gets out there. If I'm hearing you correctly, make sure your brand gets out there so that you then can have one-on-one conversations with people.
That is a perfect statement, yeah. So in its most simple sense, I think of it in three stages. So number one is absolutely around that awareness. And so instead of just talking to my circle of people I know, which might be 50 people, on social I can get out to 5,000 or 50,000, and a lot of people can know about me and about what I talk about and that kind of thing. So after that awareness, number two is actually, I would talk about content and actually sharing what you specialize in, showing success stories, showing your expertise. And then number three is exactly what you just said, is the holy grail in our space is still that one-to-one interaction. And that can be a message, it can be a phone call. We are absolutely still mammals, and that face-to-face, like that smell, that touch, that feel, like it's the most powerful order, like that's the top of the hierarchy.
So you just mentioned dark social there, which is not something that gets talked about a lot, but in actual fact, even when you might not be seeing likes and comments and shares on your Facebook content, people are actually sharing it. They may be sharing it in private messages or via text message or via WhatsApp, and you wouldn't know about it. Do you have any statistics on the percentage of dark social out there now?
Facebook got into quite a bit of trouble with this Cambridge Analytica and these privacy concerns. And so they're actually promoting a lot more heavily around private messages and using Facebook Messenger. And they also have unashamedly came out and said they are focusing a lot of their research and development in Facebook groups. And so pretty recently they've said, look, groups is where you've got to be. And so groups are these environments that are closed, invites in, invites out. It's got a very deliberate membership. And you're correct. There is a huge shift towards that dark messaging or private messaging. And look, in terms of statistics, it is a little bit hard to put a number on it, because exactly for the reason you said, it is SMS and it is WhatsApp and it is private messages. If I had to put a number on it, I'd say it's probably 30% of communications in that marketing space, 20 to 30% would be in that private space. And just an interesting note is that Facebook has said, you know, right now, this very moment, Sam, if 100 real estate agents put out a post on their Facebook business page, Facebook must decide which to put first in people's feeds. So let's just say it's in Sydney. Facebook's got to make a decision over whose is the most important, whose gets fed up. And so they use a really large equation or the Facebook algorithm to do that. And so Zuckerberg came out and deliberately and directly said, that information that is shared on Messenger or in private message will increase and get a bigger ranking. So it's more likely to come up the top of your feed. So Facebook is 100% tracking it. And yeah. Interestingly, Facebook does own Instagram, of course. We don't as users, right? But it's a big decision over how your content performs and ranks. Does that make sense?
Actually, that's really interesting to know that they are tracking what's going on in Messenger and Instagram, yeah. And then that's cross-pollinating what happens on their other platforms. That's really, really interesting. So social media, still big, still relevant, still important, still a must-do. Let's talk content marketing. So content marketing was the new black last year. Is it still?
My absolute and firm opinion is yes, it is. And so content marketing is still the absolute game. So content is king. And so what I would suggest has changed, so the big couple of things. So number one, and I'd mentioned it earlier, is around so many people doing it and so many businesses doing it, having such a deluge of information out there. And so where the differentiator has become, number one, is around choosing that specific audience or that micro audience, so being a micro celebrity or micro influencer, whatever you want to call it. And number two, which I'd argue is more important than that first one, is actually the quality of the content. And so before, you may have been able to get away with a quick comment or a share or taking somebody else's article and modifying it a little bit. It is absolutely around original content or first-party content where you actually can give a market wrap-up of your own, actually give an opinion, take your own videos, give your own live experiences and that kind of thing, because it is an absolute war online. It's a battleground. And so if you're not doing a great job, and so I always say to people, you're better off doing one absolutely killer piece of content, doing 20 basic, ill-conceived tick and flick bits of content. Often if you do that one really great one, you might get 1,000 likes, versus if you do lots of little bad ones, they might get 3 likes each. Because Zuckerberg also deliberately said this as well, is that the very first and most important thing is shares. So if someone shares your content, it gets ranked much higher. Number two is comments. And number three is reaction, which is either a like or a love or a ha-ha. And no longer are they giving you any difference if you do nothing. Like if you just look at it or view it or just see it, you've done nothing, right? You've not interacted with it. Now Facebook said, yep, we're not going to bump you up or bump you down for that. Pretty interesting.
Actually, it brings me to a question that people ask us a lot, and that is about video. Well, we always get asked about video a lot because we make a lot of videos ourselves. Everyone wants to know how to go viral. How do I go viral? Like Punky, for instance, with those silly Bachelor recaps, or the Chewbacca mum, or any of those people. How do you create content for your audience if you're a real estate agent that is likely to go that viral? You can't pick it, can you?
Look, I love this question. So I'll give a couple of angles on it. So number one, there are people whose just absolute full-time profession is to find, identify, create viral videos. And I've heard a lot of people say it is like winning the lotto. It's very difficult to do. As a bit of an insight, some of these people will go and download and watch the top 100 videos on YouTube, look at patterns and look at styles of videos and lengths of video, like, you know, Chewbacca Mum's a great example. And actually have a look and see what's the common strain or thread. And particularly on the Facebook and Instagrams, they often say it's the 5 C's. So it's charities, competitions, children, comedy, and then they call it cats, but animals. It doesn't have to be just cats. So they're the 5 that do really well, right? So if you touch on one of those big themes, it does well. So look, it's not easy. Number two is that there's a tool I use called BuzzSumo, so B-U-Z-Z and then Sumo. And all that does is you type in a topic, so you type in real estate, and it tells you the exact articles or topics or content that's going viral around the world. It's organized by the most number of shares. And so I typed in real estate a couple of days ago, and the top article worldwide on real estate was Koala in Australia goes through an open home. And it's a video of, you know, it's actually an open home. The agent's there and a koala just wanders through. And the reason I kind of like that is it shows you how fickle and how silly and how unpredictable it is. And look, specifically in real estate, if we're going to talk about and make viral videos, the best examples of those that have done it. So there was a gentleman actually in Canberra who actually staged a circus, a real circus. So it had jugglers and fire jugglers and clowns and animals at an open home, and really, you know, invested and hired and big staging and this kind of thing. It was a very luxury home. I think it sold for 2.3, 2.4. And this kind of thing is really newsworthy, or call it memorable moments, or however you'd like to frame that. And, you know, there's been other examples which won, you know, some of the realestate.com.au awards was really theming homes and that kind of thing. So actually, you know, whether it's a 70s theme or it's this type of theme and having actors and people in there. And so really having newsworthy type angles, and people are probably listening to this podcast just going, oh, this guy, I can't have a circus, I'm having open homes, or, you know. But I suppose just thinking a little bit differently and doing something, because to go viral, you absolutely do have to get media attention. You do have to get other people interested. And, you know, you've probably seen the examples. What I think is really important, I've heard you talk about it, Sam, as well, is really staying true to your brand and your personal brand. And so it's not good advice to say to everyone, go and host a circus. Mm-hmm. What is good is to know that here's who I am, here's what I stand for, here's what's important to me. And, you know, around a viral video, so for some businesses, let's take Coca-Cola or a Mercedes-Benz, you know, going viral is exactly what they want to do. They want to be quite broad, whereas I know for some real estate agents, you know, they don't have to go. They just want to go viral in their segment or their niche is what they want to do. So, yeah.
You've said that a couple of times now, is to have a niche. I think I've heard Julie Masters say this a bit, and she was one of your co-presenters at Digital Live, and we've done a bit of work with Julie before, is that it's not enough to say, I'm an expert in real estate anymore. You can't expect to be an expert in real estate because that's a space that is too big to own. And that when you say niche, what you actually mean is that you need to find something that is also some sort of intersection between real estate and some other skill that you have. What are some of the other things that you're seeing agents niche themselves into, just to give some of the guys out there some ideas of who they should be appealing to as an audience?
Yeah, really great question. Look, I agree wholeheartedly. And so one of the first ones is absolutely appealing to the investors and taking very much that money, barefoot investor, economist view. Number two, and probably my favorite one, to be honest, is the translator. Is actually somebody who's not into property, buys a property every 7 years, maybe if they're lucky, just comes into it blank, and someone who can really translate commissions and translate the buy and selling process, the auctions, all this kind of stuff. Number three is probably that comedy side and actually bring that lighthearted nature. Number four, I really like as well, is the teacher. Call it a teacher or expert or educator. So someone who's out there just sharing what's happening, sharing what's going on and that kind of thing. Another angle I see working really well is the futurist. So somebody talking about what's going to happen next or what's unfolding, talking about infrastructure, internet, schools, transport, these kinds of things. So there's a number of different angles I'm seeing out there, but just being true to yourself. Because if you're dealing with large lifestyle, expensive places, you maybe are that premium end and have an expertise in the fine things in life that could be used. And I suppose to take that maybe one step further, a really big part is adding dimension. And Julie Masters is amazing with this kind of side, is that if I'm just a real estate agent, how can I differentiate from the other 17,000 agents, right? So what is it that's going to add that second and third dimension to me? So is it rugby, or is it my real head for stats, or that kind of thing? So adding that personal element or human element to your brand is just so important now. You just cannot exist. You can't survive as a nameless, faceless drone. I just don't think you can do it anymore. Another really key part of that is once you've got that intersection of these two things is looking at the format of that content. So if you're just doing, you know, we talked about video, if you're just doing text-based updates, it's just not going to do well. Like video is the absolute jam now, and live video is even better again. And then you're seeing things like infographics, which is where you're putting all the data into images and graphs and, you know, this kind of thing to make it actually enjoyable to read or to engage with. So the content formats have become a really big playing field too.
I guess let's just break it down with a couple of tips for the guys at the moment on Facebook. What would be your two top tips on Facebook?
Two top tips on Facebook. So number one is around the Facebook advertising side is I would be trialing lots of different types of advertising. So the boosted posts are probably one of the best known ones and most used ones out there. But there are absolutely ad types around video views. There are ad types around apps that are about booking visits or making calls. So I would really be testing and trialing those different formats because there's a lot out there. That's number one. And number two is I would really start thinking and investing in that bit more, that one-to-one engagement interaction, and start to think about groups as well. So I've talked to a heap of real estate agents out there, definitely Digital Live as well, about what role could groups play, because Facebook is absolutely going that way. And so thinking about whether it is a property investment group or whether it is a available properties on the North Shore group or whatever it might be. So the advertising methods, and second is that dark message or that dark social element. That's where I'd be going.
What about LinkedIn? Because we talked a lot about LinkedIn last year, and then interestingly, I read this blog post in the last week, you know, it was by some cranky guy who said, I hate LinkedIn these days because I join LinkedIn and all I get now is promoted messages from people trying to sell me stuff. I know it's a very dim view of LinkedIn, but is LinkedIn valuable for agents?
I absolutely think it is. If real estate agents are after high net worth individuals, so in Australia, the average salary or income of people on LinkedIn is $109,000. And so that's a very high, given the average salary, I think, is about $67,000 in Australia at the moment. It is that high net worth. And so these individuals, you can find out so much about them, the size of their company, the seniority of the role. You can even almost get down to how much they're earning because, you know, when we're talking about pre-approval and approval and the kinds of prospects you're after, I think LinkedIn is very valuable. And to your point around the ads and people not wanting to use LinkedIn anymore, I unfortunately agree. It is really tough. And so people use and abuse, and it happens with quite a few of the platforms, right? Call it spam if you want, right? Like there's so much out there and the platforms are really battling to stop it, you know, by secret slipping of comments to everybody out there around putting out really high quality content is really worth the investment. If you're just a face in the crowd, you're just part of the problem, not part of making these places great. And I feel that people are disengaging because of that. I think it's a real shame because if we track back to about probably 2005, it was this heavenly place that was so enjoyable and you could learn all about your friends and people you work with. So yeah, look, it is an issue, I'd say.
I remember 12 months ago too, you had this brilliant trick where you could search for CEOs located in a particular postcode and then connect with them in a particular way, not a selly kind of way, not the stuff that we're talking about that's gotten really annoying on LinkedIn, but connect with them and then build a relationship with them. But now that Microsoft has taken LinkedIn over, you can't do that anymore the same way that you used to be able to. So what's your tip for finding people that you want to talk to on LinkedIn now?
It has changed a little bit, but you can still do almost everything that you could do before. The interface has changed definitely, but you can still go in and search CEO, and you do have to pay the $74 a month Australian for something called LinkedIn Sales Navigator to be able to go in and search by postcode. So you're right, that bit did slip out. Yes, you're correct about that. So you do have to pay for that, but you can search by suburb and region for free, but you do have to pay for postcode. So what you can do is go and find these, whether it's a partner or whether it's a managing director or an owner or yeah, definitely CEO, find these groups of people. And so you can definitely do that. And what I recommend is connecting with the people. So I never blindly connect with someone. I'd always research them, look at their profile. In my head, what I'm always thinking about is mutual interest. Like, would this person want to hear from me or would they not? Can we help each other? If not, I very seldom would go and approach them or connect with them. And so once you do connect with these prospects that are right for you, you are actually able to still download all of your connections on LinkedIn. So you can download first name, last name, job title and email address and company. That's a very powerful tool still in that way. Like, it is second to none in terms of tapping into that high net worth or professional audience. You can probably hear I'm a bit of a fanboy, so I think it's...
That's okay. But I think that's a good lesson for everyone out there in that even the experiences, people connect with me on LinkedIn and then all of a sudden a message pops up that is an advertisement. It's like dating when you're 16, you know. It's like you go straight from first date to I'm in a relationship with you and it's like, hang on a second, you haven't even bought me dinner. Maybe let's say 18, sorry, not 16. I was good at...
Oh, look, you're spot on. So it's just too fast, too early. And if you want to define or distinguish yourself as a quality operator, don't ask them to be your partner on the first date. You really do get to know them, get to know their needs, get to know their interests, get to know what their preferences are and build up that relationship over time. And it's absolutely the same online. So people often think, oh, it's just online, doesn't matter, it's not the same, but there's absolutely somebody on the other side of that screen. There's somebody else talking to you.
All right, let's talk about Twitter now.
Sure. So
Twitter apparently was over too, unless you're a fan of Survivor or the football or The Bachelor or something like that. Is Twitter relevant for real estate agents?
I'll just be really blunt here. The answer is on most occasions not, is my view. So where Twitter still has a really powerful role to play and is still probably the best is engaging with the media. If I want to hit journalists or get to people quickly, or I've got eyewitness things or breaking news or fast things, then look, Twitter's my go-to. If I've got newsworthy things to talk about and to report on, Twitter's amazing. Otherwise, the advertising model is not easy to use. It's not going well. One of the first things we spoke about today was around getting results, outcomes for real estate agents. And Twitter is actually the one I've seen the worst or the poorest results from. So look, I'm not a fan, to be honest.
All right. So that's at the bottom of the pile. It's interesting what you say about the news, because that's the first place I go for news for the brief of a morning is actually to see what's trending on Twitter. So I suppose if you're looking for property news, Twitter's not a bad place to go, just not a good place if you're trying to promote property or a particular property.
Yeah. On the whole, look, I think there are other platforms to invest your time in.
So speaking of these platforms, the one that we have not spoken about so far is Instagram. The big change in Instagram is obviously Instagram TV and Instagram stories, which anecdotally are huge. And particularly because, you know, like Instagram stories have got that whole real estate across the top of the phone. What's been your experience with Instagram, Instagram stories, Instagram TV? What are some tips for succeeding on Instagram?
Yeah, so look, Instagram is still the fastest growing social media platform in terms of users and engagement. And so look, stories upwards of 50% of the activity on Instagram now. And so for those who haven't used stories or haven't played with them, so it is content that just lasts for 24 hours and just pops up and you can see it once. It doesn't last. It's hard to explain the human behavior or consumer behavior behind it, but stories have become a really popular approach versus just posting content as normal as you may on like a Facebook or a Twitter. Stories are absolutely one I'd get into and trial and see what you can do there. I've seen some really beautiful examples. And so Instagram is really heavily based on beautiful images, and video is still relatively recent on Instagram, to be honest. And so for real estate agents, you know, you've got beautiful homes, right? And beautiful staging and beautiful furniture and beds and views and all these kind of things. So I think it's a really nice platform. The demographic tends to be a little bit younger, but that's changing quite quickly. People are a bit angry with Facebook and some of the things they're doing around privacy and data, and Instagram's owned by Facebook, but doesn't seem to get as much of that backlash. Around Instagram TV, look, I'm actually a big fan of it. So what is Instagram TV? Instagram just allows you to have very, very short videos, so just a couple of minutes, and now you can actually have up to 60 minutes on Instagram via Instagram TV. And so longer form shows is what it's designed for. And so these get pretty big priority in the Instagram feed. So Instagram's trying to push this type of content and pushes it up higher. I'm a huge fan of these walkthroughs of home, like a virtual open home where they can take you through on Instagram TV or Facebook Live and these kinds of things. Like, I'd really be trialing these because, you know, it's getting tough in some markets for agents to be heard and get their voice out. I'm a big fan of Instagram, and look, the numbers, if we're not romantic about these channels at all and just look at the numbers, just the likes and engagements on Instagram are crushing other platforms at the moment. It's going really well.
So we know with all of these platforms out there that it's quite hard to focus on them all and do them all well. But fortunately, there's a lot of social media productivity tools out there to help us with that. I'm curious to know, what are your favourites right now?
So the first category is something I just call social media management. And what that means is, just say you've got five different profiles. Having a tool that can manage across Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. And so my favorite right now is one called Hootsuite, H-O-O-T, like an owl, and then Suite, like lounge suite. There's also one called Buffer is the second one, B-U-F-F-E-R. And then the third one is one called Co-Schedule. And it's a bit of personal preference. Hootsuite's the one that I see works the best. And it's free up to three profiles. And it's about $25 a month or something in that region. So it's quite cheap and reasonable. Number two that I'm really liking, and it has been around for a little while, but it's great, is Canva. So C-A-N-V-A. And this is an Australian company, and it's a unicorn company. So it's a valuation of over $1 billion now. And very specifically, what it does is to make anybody on planet Earth a graphic designer. And so if you were to make beautiful images or quotes or graphics, or add in your logo, add in your images, then you can do it on your phone, your tablet, and your desktop, and it's completely free. Do you use that one, Sam? Have you had a play with that one? I know the team uses it, yeah.
All right, so we have an in-house designer, but yes, I am guilty of using Canva when I need to get something done fast.
So look, it will never replace a true graphic design professional, but it's amazing for getting things done quickly, and social is a lot about speed. So I really like that one. And look, I mentioned BuzzSumo, so BuzzSumo was the one where you can go and find content and have a look at different bits of content out there. And another one I'd mentioned, so we've started using quite a bit, is if you're in a bigger office, so if there's a number of agents distributed across the country, a tool we use called Asana, A-S-A-N-A, and what that does is allows you to create a content calendar, a content schedule, so you can all see what's going on, everyone's clear, and even if you've got a great market wrap that comes up from Ray White, you can put that out on a platform like this, and all of your agents and all of your offices could get hold of that and use that and make a comment on it. And so those kinds of things are actually really practical as well. So I like that kind of stuff. And then for video, like, there's some great ones out there, RIPL. So Ripple is a really nice video platform to make quick, easy, nice videos. Flippagram is a really nice one to make these repeating videos and really cool little nice things. And so there's some beautiful tools and things out there, and I just dig straight into them and download way too many of them and play with them. But picking a few that you're just going to commit to, because your life becomes too polluted if you have too many. And so something like Hootsuite and Canva are my main two go-tos. And look, just one other angle on that, Sam, is that it is very overwhelming. Even if we say to everyone on this podcast, just get these four platforms, right, which is Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, right? Like, that's all you have to do. Just get these four. That's a huge amount of work to just get those and keep them populated. And so what I always say is just choose one, begin with one, and do a really nice job of that. And look, my go-to is often Facebook, but please make your own choice. Start with one and do a great job with one. That is a much more manageable way to start.
So we've talked about apps. Are there any gadgets or equipment that you're liking at the moment that is cool for digital marketing?
Absolutely. Look, I love this space. If you haven't done it yet, and it could be a really nice thing, even open homes, but like a Google Home or an Alexa, so the artificial intelligence home assistant type things, and they're becoming $50 and $100 now. So they're a really nice touch and could be a really nice thing at open homes. My actual favorite, I've actually got it right here with me, is a device. And so what it is, it's actually an item called Cocoon. You can buy these online or whatever. And it's actually a little pouch with lots of little elastic strands on it. So all my adapters and phones and iPads and USB sticks and all my kinds of things, headphones, charger cords. So it's to keep me organized. That's something I really like. So basically actually a gadget organizer, Sam. Yeah. So look, I really love that kind of stuff.
I think you need that these days, because if you're carting around a lapel mic for your phone and you're carting around headphones and spare SD cards, let's say, and all the rest of it, you do need one of those things. So that's fantastic. All right, Colin Ernstey, it's been so wonderful talking to you again. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolute pleasure, Sam. Thanks so much.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.